Isaiah 42. I'd like to address somewhat the subject of God's glory. And there's a song the Lord gave me in regards to this message. Stand still and see His glory. And I didn't get all the words together. Oh, perhaps someone can sing a few bars, Lord willing. First of all, I'd like to get into the thought the Lord gave me. Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9.
Let them die the Lord.
Yes.
He that created the heavens and stretched them out.
Amen.
He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it.
Amen.
And spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness.
Yes.
And will hold thine hand and will keep thee.
Amen.
And give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
Amen.
I am the Lord, that is my name.
Yes.
And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
All right. We want to address somewhat of God's glory. Of course, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
There's no comparison to the glory of God. We know through the Word of God that God is a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
And He does not manifest His glory just anywhere, in any place. But He has chosen to manifest His glory through His people, through the people of God. And it is my desire that God would continue to do so, and that He would do it in a greater manner. Because God chooses to convict and convince unbelievers through the power of His glory. God has worked in many wondrous and mysterious ways down through the annals of time. We can't recount them all. You can't recount probably the many times in your life. Because part of the time, you may not have been conscious of God's workings and dealings. The fact that God works with us and for us. And I say, God has a way of showing His glory through His people, and we're not always conscious of it. It's not a conscious holiness that we possess. It's unconscious. In that, after we consciously repent of all of our sins, then God works through us in unconscious holiness. It's not something that we're so aware of that we have to remind people from time to time we are. But it's something that comes out and it flows out from our life, and it appears to be that it's a natural thing. Because there are lines, there are certain situations of life that we have met, and we've had to fight through them. We were conscious of what God required and the standard of His holiness. What it meant to be honest, what it meant to have integrity, what it meant to trust the Lord, lean on Him, allow Him to have His way in our life. We learn some of those things. And just like we have incurred in times past, habits and conditioning that were not so good, God has a way of conditioning us. As long as we keep a submissive heart and mind, a heart of obedience unto Him, the things that we do, we didn't particularly think about, well, I'm gonna just do this the right way this time. We have established a pattern by God's grace of doing it the way that God will be pleased with, and it's not something that we feel like we have options about. We get it in our heart and our mind, and we get an understanding of the things that will please God and the things that will displease God. And those things that we are consciously knowing God would not be pleased, we completely avoid those things by the grace and help of God. Thanks God to help us. We can't do it in our own strength, but it's something just like, again, you establish good habits and you cast aside all the old habits that you did at one time. You didn't even know they were unprofitable habits until oftentimes God lets you know that I would be pleased if you wouldn't do that any longer. Or I would not be pleased for you to continue to do the things that you're doing. And so God, as we understand, as He gives us a comprehension of what He is requiring of us, then I want to say automatic, but after fighting the devil, it becomes all automatic. Because the devil resists every move we make to obey God. Because it manifests him more. It manifests the devil and who he is. And the devil is artful of trying to stay hidden, even in things about ourselves. He's very artful and very skilled about going in hiding, to the extent that if it weren't for God, and whatever medium he chooses to use, there's some things about ourselves we wouldn't believe unless God had made us aware. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Something about God, we say the expression, he calls a spade a spade. He calls it to us a certain way. We oftentimes would like to be able to call it something that does not sound as badly. I just put it like that. But God will call it just what it is, and sometimes just shock our very system, and it causes us to do something about it post haste. So I'm grateful for how God works and deals with us. But God is a God of glory. He's a God of glory. In the second chapter of Luke, and the angels came forth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Glory to God. He is due all the glory and praise and honor for all who we are. Whoever that is, whoever we are up to this point in our life. Whether it's just recently saved or whether it's been saved for a long time, to God be the glory. To Him it is due for all He has done for us and all of our life's experience. He has stood by us. He's been so very, very, very faithful to every individual. And I thank God for that, and I know you do too. Because God's faithfulness to us is one of the things that propels us to keep on keeping on. He has never failed me, and He will not fail me now. Oh, I'm thankful for that tonight. That is a knowledge and an understanding that we have deep down in our very bosom. And when it's needed in a conscious way, the Lord will bring it forth and remind us of all the things, all the long list of things that He has done for us, manifesting His faithfulness and His glory.
Yes.
All right? So, look at the faithfulness of Christ our Lord, how He saves and keeps the soul. It's glorious, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. It's glorious.
Yes.
How God saves and keeps a soul.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes mind-boggling. People may say, I don't really know how I even made it this far. I was a mess. You know, I was a mess when the Lord first got me. And now the Lord has worked with me. He's been gracious. He's been so very patient to me, with me. And so I give God the glory for all of these things. And so I'm glad to be able to witness to the glory of God, to His patience, to His goodness, and to His mercy. And I know every one of us here tonight can testify to God's mercy and His goodness. I know you can.
Yes.
And I'm thankful. There are testimonies that encourage and inspire and edify our hearts when we think about God's faithfulness. and His glorious plan for salvation, sanctification,
yes.
healing. It's just wonderful. Yes. Truly wonderful, the song said, what the Lord has done. Glory to His name.
Yes.
So I had an aunt. She's gone. She's been going out into eternity. Be with the Lord for many, many years. And that's one of the songs she used to sing. And it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done.
Yes.
And, you know, just to be able to bring back, and I feel the Holy Ghost can do that for us yes. from time to time, help us to remember. Help us to remember where He brought us from and where yes. we could have been. And so, as we go on with this thought tonight, thinking about the glory of God, we know God is a jealous God. He does not manifest His glory anywhere. There are those through the arts and crafts of the enemy that appear to be able to manifest the glory of God and the things that they do and say, that there is some kind of manifestation of God's glory when they are not abiding by the Word of God. There must be a consistency in the life of that individual and a unfaltering faith in God. We know about Abraham. He manifested an unfaltering faith in God. It's amazing. It's just amazing how God worked with him and dealt with him and what God was able to accomplish through him. And it wasn't something that he planned to happen. He wasn't trying to impress the people around him. He was just trying to stay in communication with his God. And it was something new to him, and it was probably something new for them. If any were dared ask him, well, why are you doing this? Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving your common surroundings and your people? You don't even know what's out there. You don't know what awaits you. It's because God spoke to me and told me to do it. God? What God is that? What God is that? May God help us and bless us. You know, when I think about how the Lord reveals Himself to us, that He's just one God, He's the only God,
yes.
and He is a God that will manifest His glory through His people.
Yes.
All right, well, on a little farther, I want you to turn to Romans for a moment. Romans 4th chapter, verses 17 through 20. And I'd like someone also to read John 1 and 14. Romans 4, 17 through 20, please.
As it is written, mm-hmm. I have made thee a father of many nations.
Yes.
Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead,
yes.
and caused those things which be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
Who against hope,
yes.
believed in hope,
yes.
that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken,
yes.
so shall my seed be.
Mm-hmm.
And being not weak in faith,
amen.
He considered not his own body now dead,
yes.
when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Yes. Did I say 17 through 20?
He staggered not at
yes.
the promise of God through
yes.
unbelief,
thank the Lord.
But was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Giving his strong faith, he recognized, was due to God's glory.
Yes.
Wasn't his. Mm-hmm. So God is able to shine forth His glory
yes.
through solid, unfaltering faith. Now, there may be times in our experience that we realize we need more faith.
Yes.
One of the battles that we have, probably on every turn, is with the spirit of unbelief. Because the things of God are such a mystery, and God doesn't unfold His plan to us all at once, all in one day, all in one month, and sometimes all not all in the same year. God reserves the right to withhold portions of His plan for us because You know how we are. You know how humans are. Once we know the plan, then we think we can go forward and we know those shortcuts and we know how to do it better than God.
Yeah.
One thing we never want to do is try to match wits with God.
Amen.
God's way is best. And what God tells us to do, it is the way that will bring glory in your life and through your life. God is interested in His people manifesting His glory. It tells a story to those that are looking on. It conveys to the world the, how do I want to put it? The reality. That's what I want to say. The reality of serving a true and a living God. Now, the scientific world believe they're the only ones. Just discussing it with niece and nephew, we were talking about some things regarding the scientific world, and they believe that you can only find absolute truth in science, scientific facts. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Isn't that very, very sad? How much they're missing out of life. Now, it takes a very, very, very inquisitive mind to operate in the science world. You're always looking for something deeper, something more. When they answer one problem, when answer one question, it causes another question to arise.
Yes.
And of course, if God wanted man to know 1, 2, 3, He'd know it.
Yes.
But it's not God's divine will that man know some things. There's the secrets of God that He reveals to us, the things that have to do with our living for Him, how to walk before Him. There are things that God reveals unto us and gives us a greater understanding on. But there's some things we will remain in the dark until all that seems now so mysterious will be bright and as clear as the day. When the toils of the road will seem nothing, when we get to the end of the way, we will have to wait till we get to the end to know some things. And I think some questions that I sure wish I could ask God this and ask. I don't know. I picture that we're going to be so enthralled and taken up with what eyes have not seen and ears haven't heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. I don't know if we'll remember to ask all those questions. Plus, at the same time, I think some of them will just be answered.
That's right.
We'll just have the answers that we know, that we need. I don't know if that's the proper language to use. That we will have answers to things that we don't have now. But if we had them, what would be the need of having faith?
Yeah, that's true.
Faith at one day is going to be lost in sight. But right now, we need a healthy, sound faith and confidence in God. I know you pray it. I pray it. Lord, increase my faith.
Yeah.
And again, we know the devil is always there to combat whatever God has spoken to you. He is there to combat you with a feeling of unbelief.
Yeah.
Especially if it just seemed like it's... I'll probably touch on some of the things you heard the Sunday school and the message this morning. And I don't know if you want to call it copycatting. I don't know if we can call it that. Whatever it is, 4/4/13, whenever that was, a few days ago, the Lord began dealing with me with this thought. But either way, I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind hearing some of the same things again. But I'm just trying to work my way to heaven. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to satisfy God's will and purpose for my life. I don't know always what that is, and I can't tell you. I do it the best, and I'm not trying to compare myself with anybody to know what the best is. The best is for me is to use every facility that God has given me, every faculty He's given me to carry out His will. I'm trying to do that by His grace. So continue to pray for me. it's I'm not nearly as alert as I used to be, and that maybe that's a good thing. God knows, you know, we have a way that we depend on the characteristics that we have that we consider to be strengths.
Yeah.
We have a way of relying on them. And since this is a walk of faith, God would be pleased if we didn't rely so much. I'm speaking for myself. It relies so much on the characteristics that are thought to be strengths. So, may God bless us. So Abraham, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Thank God. I'm thinking John 1:14. Some of you can probably quote that scripture.
The Word was made flesh.
Dwelt among us.
And we beheld
God's glory.
The glory
is of the only begotten
of the Father,
full of grace
and truth.
We beheld His glory. We beheld the glory of God. That day when God saved your eternal soul, you beheld the glory of God. You didn't realize the kind of change that God could wrought in your life. It was a different mind you had. Your eyes were sanctified. Your tongue was curtailed. There were things about you that were natural characteristics of you, and God put an end of them right away. Then there was some, it took a long time for you to work on it. Most of the time, I repeat, it's because we have a difficulty sometimes being able to rightly divide what's a strength and what's a weakness. God help us.
Yeah.
All right. So we beheld the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. Now, I try not to make excuses, but I still feel like I don't think I'll be able to do justice to this subject. But I'll do what the Lord gives me to say. I'll endeavor to say it and then trust the Holy Ghost to reveal to you whatever portion God wants you to have. I know we all need to be edified. And in the body of Christ, that's what the Lord does. The body of Christ edifies itself. That's why we don't have to call in somebody from outside, I'll say of the ranks, outside of our domain. We don't have to depend on outside sources to edify us. Now, true enough, there are people with skills and things in the world that we benefit from. And when it comes to blessing this man right in here, this inward man, it can only be the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
God's Word and His Spirit is the only thing that will edify and build us up on our most holy faith. So, we're going to go on a little more here. Now, you know, there's a scripture in the third chapter of Hebrews speaking about the children of Israel, how they came short of their rest because of unbelief. They came short of all that God had prepared for them, so that the majority, all of those that were, I think, 20 years old and upward, did not make it over into the promised land. They came short of God's glory. The Lord speaks, Jesus speaks to those in Jerusalem. If you had only known the things, the wonderful blessings that God had prepared for you. If you had only known, if your heart had only been prepared, if you just listened to John, he came to prepare the way of God's glory for you. And he was going to change your heart, mind, and spirit just through repentance.
Yes.
that you would have a different outlook on life. And you would have been prepared for me. But you were not prepared. As a matter of fact, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They didn't receive him. So God help us that we not come short of seeing and being the manifestation of the glory of God.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go on a little farther. He didn't come short through unbelief. It's amazing to me how Abraham was able to battle through. He didn't have very much assistance. He didn't have very much help. It's amazing to me how he fought the spirit of unbelief. I do not believe the devil left him alone. I don't believe, he said, well, you're pretty old now. I guess I can have a little mercy on you. No, he gave it all that he could. He did everything he could to sway Abraham from having faith in God. And that same devil will do everything he can to hinder us from having the level of faith that God intends for us to have. So Lord, bless us and encourage our hearts. All right, I'd like to read something in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. It may seem to you that at first that it doesn't relate. But it does. It's a scripture. It's what God brought to my heart. You know the story of the Lord telling Elijah to go to the brook. I'm forgetting now. I forget the word. I forget the river. The is it Cherith? Okay. Thank you. He went. And then when that was dried up, then the Lord told him to go to a widow's house. Now, I will say this much. God is willing to go to great lengths and great sacrifice for the salvation of one soul. He will. He will. If Judas... The attitude that Judas had when the perfumed oil was put on Jesus at the, I believe it was Mary of Bethany, so they described that oil and put it on Jesus' feet. She did it as a memorial unto him, signifying his death. She may not have known everything, but she knew that God told her to do that and that it had a great meaning. I would think that Jesus took it as an encouragement and not as something that reminded him of the foreboding great pain and sorrow and grief that he was going to have to endure. It's good to know that somebody can share in some of your sufferings, even though they haven't just come yet. And so God did that. It's good that somebody can be touched to the degree that they can share in your sufferings before your sufferings even come. So that's how the Lord used her. And it may have seemed silly, foolish to those that looked on. And she had to press over something too. Sometimes popular opinion does not give you much support in doing the right thing.
True.
And just being in among the unsaved people, sometimes they're your unsaved loved ones. But just being in their presence and knowing your stand, your dress, your behavior is just a complete contrast. And then some of them have a religious profession.
Yeah.
And you can feel just billows of disapproval washing your way. And God gives us grace to behave in a way that he's pleased with because we realize if God hadn't revealed himself to me, I could be in the place that they are. And if I had made this choice instead of that choice, God knows.
That's true.
I could be in a false religion. I could be deceived.
That's true.
And I pray God will help us and bless us that we'll never open that kind of a door.
That's right.
Where the enemy can take that kind of advantage of us. But I'm sure you know, and I'm sure all of you have seen, whether you're young or old, you've seen some changes in people's attitudes and in their thoughts that you never would have dreamed. There would have been no way you would imagine such a thing could happen. So it causes us to have godly fear. That we not fall short of the blessings that He has prepared for us. That we stay in strict obedience to Him to the best of our comprehension and understanding. It's easy to obey. It's easy to the degree, when I say it's easy, He does not, the Lord does not require anything more of us than fits our comprehension.
Yes.
You don't blindly obey the Lord. You choose to.
Yes.
And when you choose to obey Him, you get such a blessing from Him that you want to do it again.
Yes.
It's such a glorious, and there is a feeling that goes along with it sometimes. And that's priceless, because it usually comes at a time that you really need it.
Yes.
Sometimes our walk with God, it's a walk of faith as it is. And sometimes you don't have very many accompanying good feelings to go along with what you're doing. Sometimes the very opposite. So when God sees fit to encourage us with some emotions and feelings of encouragement, well, then we're very, very happy to receive them. All right, going on a little bit more, we're going to start reading at the 13th verse in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter.
And Elijah said unto her,
yes.
Fear not, go yeah. And do as thou hast said.
Excuse me, just...
Take me thereof a little case first.
All right, excuse me. Of course, I didn't mention all that, and I think most of us know the story how Elijah came to the woman and told her, rather than make a cake for yourself and your son, would you make me one first?
Yeah.
Well, it's difficult not to see that. Now, this woman had some kind of trust in Elijah.
Okay.
He had some kind of way won her trust. You just don't turn from making a cake for you and your son. There's something about a woman and her son. Something about a parent. Even fathers and their sons. Something about a parent that they're looking for every way they can to provide subsistence for their family. And if this happens to be the last meal that I'm able to provide for them, it'd be very, very hard for us to make the choice that we're going to fix this man of God a little cake first. With the thought, what if he just devours it and there's nothing else left? What is my son going to do? If I don't make it, I sure want to see my son make it. I want him to be able to carry on the name of his father. I want him to be able to carry on all the things that have been granted us, the property and all the equipment. I want him to be able to carry on one day. I want to leave him with something. I want him to have some possessions. I want to have him to have some inheritance. Our little plot of land may not be much, but it's something, and it'll give him a start in life. But to say that I would make something for someone else when my son's life is at stake, well, that would be a difficult choice to make. But apparently, according to the word of God, she did not take a long time in making up her mind. She just went on and did it. I just say, again, there was something about this brother's life that caused her to have enough confidence to where she went on and do as he asked. So, after it was manifest that the meals were going to keep on coming, regardless of that last little bit that she thought she had, the Lord continued to provide.
Yes.
Continued to supply them with what they needed. to be able to meet all the needs that they had in their household. Having food and raiment, the scripture says, let us therewith be content.
Yes.
And so God is going to be faithful to make those kind of provisions for us. All right, and here's maybe another great test that came on her. What verse are you at, please?
13.
Okay, I'm sorry, I did interrupt you. Would you read on a little bit more? I just want to give a little background, maybe for me as well as you.
And bring it unto me.
Yes.
And after make for thee and for thy son.
Yes.
For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
All right.
And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
All right. Now the 17th verse, please.
And it came to pass after these things,
yes,
the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him.
Mm-hmm.
And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?
Would you stop there for a moment? Now, this is one of the common ways that the devil appears to us in a time of crisis.
Yes.
Her first thought was, the reason why this is happening in my life is because apparently this man of God has notated some type of sin in my life. It's a common thing for the devil to present to an individual in the time of great affliction that you apparently have done something wrong. Some people feel like afflictions are the result of sin. Now, I realize, and I believe you understand as well, that afflictions and griefs and pains and so forth came through sin. But in your own personal private life, to say that because something comes into your life that brings grief, that the first thing you think of, I believe it was spoken of this morning, in one either Sunday school or the message, like David, what have I now done? What did I do, Lord? I mean, least you could have done is just told me. The devil loves to try to accuse God in the things that come our way. And so, as it were, she's saying, I actually think she thought maybe she had done some type of a sin. But you know, sin is a transgression of God's law. And there again, we have knowledge. God gives us knowledge and understanding if it is a transgression. He will let us know. There are some things that happen in our lives that we may not be cognizant, aware. But God will bring us an awareness, and then we have to deal with it accordingly.
Yeah.
And so, here it is, this woman had the attitude of heart and mind that God is trying to punish me by slaying my son, and this man of God must have something to do with it. Of course, he didn't. He didn't know what was going on any more than the woman knew. But again, she maintained the attitude that's very common in the world. And sometimes it's a spirit that we have to fight. That there is something that God has not revealed to me, and as he's punishing me for it, and now, look at me. Here I am. I don't have a way out of this problem, and I'm at a disadvantage because I don't even know what it is. You know, this is what Job went through with Bildad and Zophar and Eliu and Eliphaz. This is what he, because this is the type of mind that they had.
Yes.
Job,
Nobody has the kind of troubles and problems you have unless they've sinned and they're just hypocriting. You're just going right along over the top of it and doing it and still acting like everything's well between their soul and God. And no matter what Job said, no matter how he tried to defend himself, now you're justifying yourself, Job. And so after a while, it took Job a while just to realize, you know what? You don't even have to answer all this. You don't have to answer all the accusations of the devil. When the enemy comes in with a flood of accusations, you don't have to pick up a conversation with the enemy. Resist the devil and he'll flee. You can get behind me, Satan. When you know when the devil comes and knocking, don't answer the door or send Jesus to the door. But we are not equipped to deal with the wisdom of Satan. We're not equipped to deal with the wisdom of this world. Without having God and His Spirit and His power to give us the grace and understanding and the wisdom, God's wisdom to know how to give an answer where the devil can't gainsay or resist it, we need Him to do this. We can't just pull up scriptures, so to speak, unless God will direct us and help us to know exactly what to say. Sometimes, you know, we'll panic and we'll bring forth something, and especially if the individual is not that acquainted with the Word of God, they'll come to a place where they realize, you know what, it's best if I'm going to, I know I'm going to have a confrontation with people that don't believe, God help me to be prayed up, so that when I come in their presence, you can give me something. Because if not, then we'll be trying to come up with something. And oftentimes it's not exactly what the Lord would have us to say. So God knows how to prepare us for the things that we're going to face, and He knows how to give an answer of peace where the devil can't do anything with it.
Amen.
So here we have this incident of this woman and the enemy speeding her thoughts. Well, you've actually done something wrong. Micah, I believe it's the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, where does the Lord require for us to give? I can't think how it goes now. Yeah, 6 and 7.
Will the Lord be pleased with
yes.
thousands of rams?
Yes.
Or with 10,000 of rivers of oil?
Yes.
Shall I yield my firstborn for my transgression?
Yes.
The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
All right, those are the kind of thoughts that this woman had in her mind. Is that what's going to please God? If, in other words, will God be pacified because my son has been taken away from me? Is that how God works? I don't believe so. Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, says that God does not willingly grieve or bring sorrow to the children of men. He's never done it that way. When He does, though He calls grief, yet will He have compassion according to His mercy. If it were not for that, then some things would seem very unbearable to us. When God allows something that is naturally going to grieve a human being, He accompanies it with some access, courage, comfort, faith, that God's going to work something good out of this. There's something going to come out of this. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know I'm going to be glad I trusted God.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be glad that I relied on Him through this trial and test. You know the different ways the devil will pull you when your emotions are involved in the trial and test that you're dealing with? He'll pull you one way and pull you another. And then you come to a realization, God, help me to be still and know that You're God. Help me just to be still and allow You to do what You're doing. As we may have heard, we would like to cut it short. We would like for the Lord to do something immediately about the situation that we're facing. And God doesn't choose to do that. Faith in conflict waxes stronger.
Yeah.
If we are to have an increase of faith, then we're going to have to confront the devil. We're going to have to confront the doubts and fears
yeah.
that he assails our mind with. and tell the devil to get behind
us.
Sir. Resist him and he will flee. Now, I'm thankful that God has enough of his word given unto us, revealed unto us, so that we'll know what to do in the time of great temptation. And so, I don't know of any incident where God took somebody from our family. I'm talking about saints. These are people that love God and obey God. God does not take somebody from the family circle, because as you're trying to live right and you're endeavoring to do the things that please God, that God thinks of something. Oh, I forgot. There's something you did and I wasn't pleased with. And now that's the result. The result is that grief is going to come on your life. Because, yeah, I know you didn't know about it, but there is something. And so God knows what he's doing when he works in our life. He knows how to spare us. Whatever grief we do endure, God spares us from greater grief than we would normally bear. He is that kind of a God. He measures the amount of grief that we can bear, and he gives us what we need that we can go through our trials and tests with victory in our soul. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm sure we've all had trials and tests. We've all had some degree of grief in our life where the Lord's sustaining power was just there, and continued to be there. We could lean on him.
Yes.
We could rest on him. And we could even lay in his bosom.
Yes.
And he'd hold us and draw us close to him and let us know that you're still my child and I'm with you still. So I'm thankful for God's merciful kindness to us and how he stands by his word and he stands by his people. All right? And so we're going to move on just a little bit more. John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And you know, the scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. And a song said, no, no counting, only trusting. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. There's not one affliction, one problem, one grief that God does not eventually deliver his people out of. It may not come tomorrow, and you may have wished it for yesterday. But he knows, yes, he knows just how much we can bear. And so God is always present, and he's always on his job. And I'm thankful for it. John 9, 1 through 7.
And as Jesus passed by,
yes,
he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Yes.
And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind?
Yes.
Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents.
Yes.
But that the works of God should be manifest in him.
Yes.
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day.
Yes.
The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
When he had thus spoken, he sat on the ground and made clay of the fiddle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
Amen.
And said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sin. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said,
yes,
is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am.
Is that 1 through 7?
All right, that's fine. This is another case where when men looked on it in a natural sense, even the disciples, they felt the cause had to be that this man is sin. But this was actually done for the glory of God. And I would dare say that there are many troubles and problems in our life that we have faced and are going to face, that they are there. I know God chastens us, but God wants to manifest some glory. Don't we know of a surety of God's glory in the strength and the power He gives us to resist the devil, not give in to unbelief, not allow the devil to take us to a place where we're depressed and deluded, not allow the enemy to speak ill of God and accuse God of not being faithful to His people. One thing God is, and He is faithful to His people. That's one thing you can count on. God will never disappoint your soul. The song says it, and He proves it throughout the Word of God. I'm going to go, you don't have to turn back, I'm going to go back to this widow of Zarephath. She considered this being one of the most terrible things that happened to her. Probably this was worse to her than facing death with her son. To lose her son, for her son to die. She had counted on him. He was great comfort to her. And God knows what all the plans are that she had in her mind for her son. As it were, after the Lord worked through Elijah, He brought this man back, this boy back to life. Then we have the 24th verse. I'm going to read it to you. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." God used this to manifest to this woman that there is still a God in Israel, that there is still a power working amongst the people of God, that God has always had and always will have a people who He can manifest His love and mercy and show the world His glory. This was a great miracle that was wrought, and I'm sure it rang throughout the entire countryside and perhaps out of the country. This was an ordinary thing. This was something that was so wonderful. It changed the woman's life and probably was a great influence to the neighbors and those round about. You just don't see somebody raised from dead every day. So the Lord had His purpose. And I would say this woman, she did not invite Elijah to come to her house. The Lord sent him there. And she wasn't just so sure of him. She perhaps felt, well, he seems like a good man. And whatever he's saying with such conviction, I'm afraid not to do it. But she was not convinced of the God of Elijah. But after this, the Lord blessed her and caused her to have a faith in Elijah's God to the extent that she should go forth. She could go forth and testify and witness that, you know, those Israelite folks, their God is a real God. Not only that, but I want you to know this God has power that when you need Him in a hurry, He's there in a hurry. And so God manifested Himself. God did it for His glory. He did it to show the world that He is able to yet do exceeding abundantly of all we can ask or think. And so here we have 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. "While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, the things that are seen are temporal, the things that are not seen are eternal." And what is it going to say?
"For our light affliction,
which is just yet for a moment,
worketh for us in far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
I don't know if we'll ever know till God calls us home what our faithfulness wrought in those that look on our life. I don't know if we'll know until we leave this life, leave the temporal, and go into the eternal. When our afflictions, he called his light, and I thought he had some pretty heavy afflictions to deal with. But I think he used the words correctly. Compared to the suffering that Jesus went through, all our afflictions are light.
Yes.
Compared to the great price that he paid for your soul and my soul. Well, there is no comparison. And so God bless us and encourage us that the things that we go through, that God will give us the faith, that God will give us the confidence, because you do not know the glory of God that he can manifest to the world just by you and I being faithful through our trials and tests. Whether they seem like small tests or whether they seem like big tests, no matter who you are or where you live, somebody's always watching our life. And God is seeking for opportunities to manifest his glory through his people, through his church.
Yes.
May God bless the reading of his word. Pray for me. Now, I don't know if anybody knows this song. I had a few Stand Still and See His Glory. Any of you singers? Any of you singers know it?